Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now just take your hands and place them on your heart this morning. I want to pray because today and over the next few weeks, I'm going to preach about God's power. I'm going to preach this morning about a healing that can come into every person's heart. And then starting next Sunday, I'm going to preach about miracles. And I read this week where Jesus was talking about how his word is like a seed that's sown into soil, and the heart is soil. And I'm praying as God's word goes into your heart today that it will take root and bring a beautiful harvest of blessing in your life. God has a word and a promise for you. So, Father, I pray right now over every heart. I pray, Lord, over our four locations today as this message is being preached and as the miracle series starts next Sunday in all four locations. Lord, let faith rise up big time in our hearts. Let our hearts be beautiful soil for your precious word, Lord, and let a glorious harvest take root in every one of us and bring forth righteousness, blessing, revival, strength, and honor, Lord, and let lives change big time over the next few weeks, Lord. I pray even over this message today, and I pray for people that came into this room confused, that came into this room weary, worn out, discouraged, exhausted, overwhelmed with life. Some are sick in their bodies. By the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, touch every person, Lord. And Lord, we may not have all the answers today, but we will leave this place with faith and joy in our lives, Lord. Thank you for touching every person as we lift you up in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning for his goodness. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Take a seat, everybody. This is such an exciting time, and God is moving in wonderful ways in our church, and I'm hearing so many testimonies. Even today, I heard testimonies of people being healed. One woman told me that the last time I saw her, she had double carpal tunnel syndrome. They were telling her that she needed surgery. She told me today the Lord has completely healed her. She agreed in prayer and God touched her. And I'm believing for wonderful things for every one of our lives. And just want to mention just real quick, because this is my last chance to get in your head maybe until next Sunday. And next Sunday is really special. It's Resurrection Sunday. It is the one Sunday of the, well, really every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, but it's the one where everything goes into that central message, that central truth of the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And I want to encourage you guys to come and bring a truckload of your family and friends. It's going to be a beautiful service, a one-hour service. We have 3 one-hour services next week, 8:30, 10, and 11:30, so decide right now what service you're going to make and who you're going to bring with you. Let's pack this place out. We're going to have over the next, now of course, Friday, Good Friday, we're going to have a beautiful Good Friday service right here at 7 o'clock and one in Santa Rosa. Now over this next week, from Friday through Sunday, we're going to have 8 services in 4 different locations. So how many of you will pray with me and believe for hundreds of decisions for Christ this week? Let's believe for that. Let's agree. This is we're gonna go for it. The choir is ready. Everybody's pumped up. Worship team, all the greeters and everything. I mean, we are ready for a tremendous Sunday, and it's coming next weekend. And we're also very excited about Pastor John and the healing team for the afternoon service at 3 today. Let's just be in prayer for amazing things this week. All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Take a teaching outline, grab it. And if you're joining us online, I'm glad you're with us. Everybody in the cafe, what a wonderful time to come into God's presence. And we're finishing today, before I start my miracle series next Sunday, finishing the Healing the Orphan Heart series of messages. I trust and pray that God is revealing himself to you in a brand new way. We've been talking about an orphan heart in our church, and an orphan heart is a spiritual condition where we struggle to experience the love and approval of God the Father. An orphan is someone who doesn't really have a father or a mother, and there are spiritual orphans, people that have kind of like the attitude and the feeling in their life that nobody loves them, nobody cares, and they're not really convinced about the love of God in their life. When we live with an orphan heart, we live with a constant sense of lack, constant sense of fear and insecurity, even if we know in our heads something different. But when we truly believe that we've been adopted, when we truly believe that we have been taken into God's family and that He is our Father in heaven, when that becomes real to us, everything changes on the inside of us, and we live a totally different kind of life. Our scripture for this morning and over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Romans chapter 8. Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. The Word of God says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Everyone say, "I'm a child of God." All right, that's where we're going. It says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." That's a spirit, and that is not your what you've received. Instead, you've received God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm. Say it with me, that we are God's children. Now, if we just stopped right there, that would be a mouthful. That's a beautiful thing for every one of us to understand, that God has adopted us, that He loves us, that we're not alone in life, we're not forsaken, that God will never leave us, that we are a part of His family, and that nothing can separate us from His love. But it goes on just a little bit further, and that's what I want to focus on today. Because today I want to talk about how the orphan heart relates to your sense of wealth and your sense of security in a financial and material way. Here's what it says. It goes on and says, "And since we are His children, we are His what? Heirs." Circle that word, heirs. Does anybody know what an heir is? Not hair. Some of you are praying for more hair in your life. But talking about heirs. An heir is someone who stands to receive an inheritance. And what the Bible is saying is that you and I, as God's children, are the receivers of a rich inheritance. God has something good lined up for us, and it's coming our way. And whether that means in our emotional lives, in our relationships, our family lives, and especially in our financial lives, that means that we aren't broke. That means that we aren't insecure, that God is going to make sure that our needs are met. And everybody said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say out loud with me, my needs are going to be met. All right, I'm not an orphan. I've got a Father in heaven. He's adopted me into His family. I'm not on my own, and I am a child of God, and that means I am an heir, and I'm going to receive. I am not broke, and I am not destitute, and I'm not on my own. I'm a receiver of everything that God has. Now, I'm kind of drilling this into us because part of this thing of having an orphan heart really comes down to our view of money, really comes down to our view of security in life, and are we going to be taken care of? Orphans don't usually feel that they're taken care of, but children know, the children of God, the children of a wealthy father know that their needs are going to be met. And here's what I want to do. I want to lay out two mindsets today, and we're going to make a choice today about which way we want to think and believe. We're going to look at the mindset of an orphan, which is a poverty mindset, and then we're going to look at the mindset of a son or daughter of God, which is an abundance mindset. And I'm going to challenge you at the end of this service to choose which mindset you're going to embrace. How do you want to live? Do you want to live your life with an orphan mindset, or do you want to live your life as a child of God? And I would say this, that of all the things I will say today, that choosing between these two mindsets is essential to your life. It's essential to your financial life. It's essential to your spiritual and emotional health, that you would be healed and affirmed and strengthened. I mean, anchored in your life. Anchored to a confidence that God is for you and that He's going to help you in your life. This message will change your life. Let's start by talking about what I call a poverty mindset, the poverty mindset of an orphan. And I've traveled all over the world. I've had a great privilege of being a part of 26 orphanages, the founding of 26 orphanages around the world where we have children's homes. We call them houses of hope. And I've been a part of that. I've met a lot of beautiful children all over the world and hundreds and hundreds. And as I mentioned last Sunday, we were missionaries. That's almost like being an orphan, I'll tell you. We were missionaries in the Philippine Islands, and our home was located right next to an orphanage. We lived on a missions compound, and for that year and 3 months that we were there, my children played with orphans all day long. They were friends of about 100 Filipino orphans. One thing I've noticed about orphans all over the world, especially in third world countries, is orphans don't have a lot of financial security. Orphans tend to believe that they're not going to have enough. They will sometimes hoard. They will sometimes fight with each other. They have a tremendous kind of, I call it like a financial insecurity. It's related to an emotional insecurity where they hold on to things and they don't expect good things on their birthday. They don't expect blessings. They don't expect good things at Christmas. A lot of orphans, even sometimes after they're adopted and placed into a family, they're imprinted with a kind of poverty mindset that says, really, I'm not going to have enough, and I could lose all of this at any moment. This could be taken away from me, and it's nice that the cupboard is full of food, but I feel insecure. This is a part of the torment of being an orphan. They live with lack. They don't expect good things, and a lot of times they'll fight and struggle and even fight with each other over trying to get good things because on the inside they're not really expecting that they're going to have everything that they need. Even after they're adopted, they're imprinted with that kind of a mindset. I know this personally because I've mentioned once or twice here that I have a brother who was adopted. My brother was adopted by our family when he was 8 months old. So he grew up in exactly the same family that I grew up. My dad was a businessman all of his life. He retired at age 54. Aren't you jealous? He retired a wealthy man at 54. None of us ever lacked for anything. I always had the shoes that I needed. I had the books that I needed. College tuition was not a problem for me. I was blessed. I was taken care of as a son of a wealthy man. My brother, who also was adopted into our family, grew up in exactly the same circumstances, identical. He was loved as much as I was loved. He was given as much or more. I think my parents got a little sloppy, in my opinion, toward the end, you know. They let him get away with a lot of things that I never got away with. And so he had it really good. But I'll tell you something about my brother. He's in real trouble today. My brother is homeless. Despite the fact that my parents love him with a desperate love. I mean, a desperate, desperate love. He is homeless. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have any assets. And he is convinced, and I think this is the root of it, he is convinced that my parents do not love him, or so he says. How do the three natural-born siblings of my family end up successful, strong, and convinced of my parents' love, and the one who was adopted, chosen to be in our family, pulled into our family, given exactly the same treatment? But because of a mindset that is in him, related, I believe, to his status as an orphan and being adopted and the questions that places into a young person's life and choices that he's made and addictions that he has in his life, has landed him in a completely different category of living. I'm here to tell you that it is a mindset. It's the power of how you think and what you believe is true. Because though my parents desperately love my brother, he doesn't believe it, and he struggles to receive the good things that our family can give him. Now, here's the application of that story. How are you doing? How are you doing as a child of God? Somebody who God loves Do you know and believe the love that God has for you? Do you look at other people and think, they have it better than me? God doesn't love me like he loves them. They have an advantage that I don't have. If that's the way you think, I want to really challenge you and convince you before you walk out of this place today that God loves you so much and that he is for you. And with regard to your financial security, if you will trust the Lord, God will take care of every need that you have, because you aren't broke and neither is your father. Your father is not struggling. Your father is doing just fine. So you may as well pull up to the family table and eat right alongside your brothers and sisters. Just the way God loves them, he loves you, and he will provide for you. I'm going to attack today a poverty mindset that is tormenting people that I love. A poverty mindset that is tormenting people in my church and people in my community, and they really believe they're not going to have enough. And I want to flip that thing over in the mighty name of Jesus and step on its neck. And I want you walking out of here today understanding the great love that God has for you as his child and his great willingness to provide for your every need. Spiritual orphans struggle with a poverty mindset. What is a poverty mindset? Let's take a look at our notes and just move through this material kind of quickly. I want to say, first of all, that there are marks of a poverty mindset. The first one is a fixation on materialism. A fixation on materialism. They just can't get enough finances. They just can't get enough possessions. They are really overly concerned with material wealth. Now you say, well, that can't be true of me because I'm poor. Listen, I've met a lot of poor people in my life. May I say to you, a poor person can be just as fixated on wealth as a wealthy person. Oh, I didn't get many amens on that. Was that a surprise to you? It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. You can be totally obsessed with money. You can be obsessed with the idea that you don't have it, or you can be obsessed with the idea that you have it. But either way, it's not healthy for your soul. So being fixated on materialism is not right. And a lot of times, people with an orphan spirit, they will work extra hard, and they will make sure that people around them really understand they've got a nice car and they wear nice clothes, and they really want to front that they've got more than enough because they feel insecure about running short. The second aspect of this is they have no faith for abundance. They're not coming at life from an abundance standpoint. Their starting point in life is, I don't have enough, my people have never had enough, my family has never had enough, and we are never going to have enough. That's just deep in their mind. There's no faith. Spiritual orphans live with a constant fear of going broke. Everything is about lack. Everything is about not having enough, insufficiency. There's a fear-based view of money and security, and sometimes a victim mindset that settles in. And people like this that struggle with this, this might be somebody, don't raise your hand, this might be you, but if you're always looking for a discount or a break, if you're always looking for someone to do something for you, if you just are mad because people aren't doing enough for you, and maybe you have a problem with obsessive spending, maybe you have a problem with hoarding or holding onto things that you don't really need, those are all marks of a person who doesn't have an abundance mindset. In other words, their starting point in life is, I'm poor, I'm broke, and I've got to fight my way and scratch my way, and I've got to depend on everybody else to make sure that I have enough. But see, if you're a child of God, are you looking to people to give you a break? Are you looking to your Heavenly Father to make sure that you have more than enough? How many know that's a big difference right there? Right? Man is not your source. So it's fine if you're negotiating or you're in a business transaction. You say, hey, what's your best price? Give me your best price on this set of tires, or give me your best price on this car. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you just feel like you just got it, it's just never enough. You got to use every coupon, every discount, you're just constantly with the sales and the discounts and the bartering and the negotiating. What you're really doing is you're saying, man, I don't have enough, and you got to make sure I get what I need. I'm going to twist your arm and get it from you. That's no faith for abundance. Third, toxic emotions and belief. With this orphan mindset of poverty, there's a whole range of negative, toxic emotions that a person like this would feel in their life. Maybe resentment toward people that have something. Maybe a sense of sadness, depression, discouragement that you never have enough and you never can get ahead and your family can never get ahead. And there's a lot of toxic emotions, constant dissatisfaction. Nothing is good enough for you. Nothing actually is good enough. It's all bad. It's all substandard. It's not good enough. What is that? That's a poverty mindset. That's not the biblical mindset of satisfaction, contentment, enjoying life. Look, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to eat every meal and drive every car and know every person with a total sense of contentment and satisfaction. Like, my car is the best car in the world, even if it's not. Amen. Why should you feel, and you're driving a car and half of the world, three quarters of the world will never, ever, ever own a car. They will never have a house or furniture like you have. And just, it's not good enough for you. You just have to turn it up more and you got to have more. That's a problem. It's toxic. It's not good for your soul. It's rusting your soul. It's corroding your soul. And God wants to set you free from those toxic emotions, complaints about money, and I could go on and on. Let me give you another one. Lack of generosity. A poverty mindset is characterized by you just really don't want to give. You just don't want to give. You just don't want to. I think parents, let me challenge you. Since we dedicated babies, one of the things we need to teach our children is how to be generous, how to share, but we teach how to share and we teach generosity to our children by reassuring them of one simple fact. You are going to have enough. There's enough here for you and for everyone. Children, even them, children can have this attitude of selfishness and lack of generosity. We have to challenge that in them and we have to challenge it in ourselves. One of the reasons I am excited to give my gift today for Heart for the House, I have learned that giving is fun. It's joyful. It's exciting to plant a seed and say, I can't wait to see how God will bless me through this. And I've seen it again and again and again. So learn to be excited about generosity. And and this goes, by the way beyond money. It's not just about finances. Some people are very chintzy or stingy with praise. They don't want to compliment or affirm anybody else. They don't want to share. Hey, that was an awesome whatever. You know, you do such a great job at this or that. Or, you know, they don't want to build anybody else up because they've got this poverty mindset that says, I can't give away any honor. I can't give away any affirmation because I need it all for myself. And that's a sad, sad mindset to have. A lack of generosity. Check out Proverbs 11, verse 24. Let's put that up on the screen. Because I remember I'm challenging you. We're talking now about poverty mindset. I'm challenging you to make a choice today between a poverty mindset and a kingdom mindset or I'm a child of God mindset. In this verse, I see both of them. Do you? Look at what it says. There is one who scatters. There are those people who just recklessly give stuff away. They scatter. And yet, what happens to them? They what? They increase. What? You can scatter and increase? And yet, there is one who withholds more than is right. Withholding your love, withholding your affection, withholding honor, withholding praise. You're holding back generosity, holding back more than you should, and what happens to that person? There's a tendency in that person to head into a place called poverty. Now, here's the sad thing about a poverty mindset. It gets worse and worse and worse. You would think if you held back, if you hoarded, if you didn't give anything away, that you would have more than enough. But what happens is that tends to bring more poverty into your life. It's the power of a way of thinking, a power of a mindset that will shut down the supply in your life when you But when you open your hand and you give to people and you love people and you honor people and you affirm people and you bless people, somebody in your life lost their job and you write them a $500 check and you say, don't say a word. Here's $500. Be encouraged. God's got this. You're going to be okay. Or you bring a bag of groceries to somebody who's sick in their house, and you just you say, look, I don't want anything from you. I just felt prompted. I'm just going to bless you. I know you're not feeling good. You're having a hard time. Here's some stuff, and don't even mention it. Those kind of people that scatter, they tend to have more than enough. And those people that hold back the little that they have tend toward poverty. So my challenge to you is, what team do you want to play for? I want to play on the abundance side. Amen? I want to be on the abundance mindset. So that's the poverty mindset. That's our setup. Now let's turn a page and go with me into, for 5 minutes, just an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset. What does that look like? You remember the old movies? I guess some of the new movies have it too, but there's sometimes a scene where all the members of a family are called into like a big conference room. There's probably a big oak table, you know, and they all sit down for the reading of the will. Grandpa Charlie died or whoever it was, and, you know, there's all the drama and all the stories, you know, the rotten relatives and the really sweet relatives and the relatives you don't trust, and they're all going to hear what they got from Grandpa Charlie. And when the will is read, some people are crying and some people are happy. Can I read to you the will and the description of what you've received from the death of Jesus Christ? Because as a child of God, he died on the cross for you, and that released an inheritance. Remember we said we're heirs, right? Would you like to know what's in the will for you? Then come back every Sunday for the next 10 years and we will talk about it all the time, because that's really what a church is. A church is a gathering of people that are reading the will and learning everything that has been stored up for them. All right, but here's just a preview, just a little bit. You can write this down in your notes. There's a verse, Isaiah 53, that says, he, Jesus, he on the cross was despised and rejected by men. Surely at that moment he took our infirmities, our sicknesses, and he carried our sorrows. If you're sick or sad or your heart is down today, Jesus has something for you. And it says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. If you don't have peace, if you struggle with anxiety, I want you to know that Jesus took something from you on the day he died. He took your anxieties and your sorrows, and he handed you instead peace. And it goes on. It says, the punishment of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds, see, when he was beaten and crucified, we are what? Healed. So there's a lot there, and I could give you 100 other scriptures that talk to us about what we have received, but this is what I call the great exchange, because on the day that Jesus died for you, you lost something and you gained something. You lost pain and sin and sorrow and brokenness, and you gained wealth, blessing, forgiveness. Let's look at a few things here. Just jot these down. On the day that Jesus died for you, Jesus became sin so that you could become righteous. Number two, on the day that Jesus died for you, Jesus bore your shame so you could gain God's approval. Number three, Jesus took our sickness so that we could be what? Help me with this. We could be healed. Everyone say, I'm healed. All right, and then number four, Jesus became a curse so that we might be what? Blessed. Now look, I've just read to you, I mean just 2 minutes into the reading of the family will, and already you are now aware, your life will never be the change. In case you didn't know this, your life will never be the same. In case you didn't know this, already in the last 3 minutes of reading you the family will, these are the things that you have received. And there's so much more. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. For you know the grace of God. You got to know the grace of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich. Yet for your sake, why did he do it? For your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, we're not just talking about financial riches here. Please don't make this about money. This is so much more than money. The spiritual wealth, the resources of a heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, who is the owner, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. He has all wealth. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his, and you are his child. And he sent his son to die for you. And when he died, you were in the will. And all you have to do, you're at the family table right now. All you have to do is say, I receive it. I'll be his son. I'm in line for everything that God has for me. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? We got to know the grace of God. Psalm 115 said the Lord will give us success and he'll give our children success. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a good plan for our lives and that he's doing something great in our future. And he has a plan to prosper us and bless us. Jesus himself said, the devil, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come so that people will have a rich and satisfying life. Let me ask you today, are you living a rich and satisfying life? Because if you're not, and if you know Jesus, you're living way beneath your privilege. You're like my brother. And God wants to inform you that you are loved. And that there is a place for you at the family table. And if you don't know Jesus today, in about 2 minutes, you're going to have a chance to pray and receive him into your heart and become a son or daughter of God. And in that moment, I will inform you that you are in the family will and you are not broke and God is for you. Don't you love this teaching? Don't you love understanding that God is for you and that you don't have to live with a lack and poverty mindset? One last scripture, that's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. I want you to take a good look at this verse. It's kind of a complicated verse because it's a translation of the Bible called the Amplified Version, which amplifies, blows up every word of the verse into a phrase. But I want this to really land on your heart, how God feels about you. This is Hebrews 13, 5, and it says this, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money. That's rich and poor. Believe me, more people than rich people love money. So all of us need to get free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. He says, don't get into that. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For, everyone say for. Because he, God, himself, has said, receive this now. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor will I leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you? Assuredly not. You are at the big oak table. And God is making a promise to you in his will. You will never be without. God's got your back. He loves you. You're a part of his family. And if you put your trust in him, you don't have to scratch and claw for money and discounts and cars and houses and people helping you that don't even know you. You've got your heavenly Father, and he will take care of you and your needs will be met. Do you receive this? Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time in your presence. I've preached your word. I pray that your word has gone like a seed into people's hearts where it will explode with new life. I pray, Jesus, that everything you gave up on the cross, you poured it all out for us. And it wasn't for nothing. It was for a reason. It was so that our sins could be forgiven and washed away, and that our heart needs and our physical needs and even our material needs would be met because we are now in relationship with the Father in heaven and his heirs. Lord, let that land on our hearts big time. I pray for people today that knew that in their head, but they're not living it from the heart. I pray that they will really get it deep down into their heart. And I pray for people listening to me today that never heard such a thing. They've never heard the gospel. They thought church and God was just religion. But the truth is, today they've heard that God loves them and that his son died for a purpose and a reason in their life, that they could be forgiven and they would never be alone. They would never be orphans. They would never be abandoned. Father, heal our hearts through your love. Holy Spirit, I ask you to shed the love of God abroad in hearts in this room. In Jesus' name. Just leave your heads bowed for a moment if you would. Some of you are in this building today, you don't even know how you got in this building. Like, I don't go to church. I'm not a Jesus person. I'm not a Christian. But you're here. And I believe it was the hand of God that got you into this room today. And I want to give you the opportunity to sign on as a child of God. You don't have to be left out. I want you at that table, the table of God's love, the table of inheritance, the table of receiving from God everything that he has for you. He has love for you. He has forgiveness for your sins. He has health and strength and joy. The joy of living will come back into your life. But you've got to open your heart to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I receive what you've done, and I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'd just like to ask you, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if somehow you've found yourself so far from God, you don't even know how you got away from God. Something happened in your life, and you got away from God, but you want to get back in right relationship with God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand and say, Pastor David, that's me. Thank you for raising your hand. Just put it up. Nobody's looking. I see you. Just right where you are, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Just another minute here. I see you, the two of you. Thank you, ladies. Over to my left and on your right, is there a hand that's going to come up? Say, Pastor David, pray for me. I need to give my life to Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll tell people all over this auditorium. I see your hand. Thank you, dear. I think that's about 7 or 8 hands. I just want to wait in case I see you over there against the wall. Thank you. And you in the back, I see you also. I think I see about 10 hands here. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for people to have a miracle in their life. We receive the love of Jesus, and we receive our inheritance as sons and daughters. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, let them know that they know that they are saved and safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank you for washing away their sins. Every person who lifted their hand, give them the assurance today of salvation. Thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Everybody take a look at me. Walk with me now through a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to say it with me. You that raise your hands and everyone else in the room. We're going to give our offerings in just a minute. That's fine. But this is very important. Let's say this prayer. Say this with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I receive your word. I'm becoming your child. I'm not alone. I'm not forsaken. I'm not on my own. And I'm not in my sins. Thank you for your forgiveness and your supply in my life. I boldly confess, from this day forward, I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus with all my heart. In his name I pray. Amen. Now, 10 people gave their lives to Christ. I think we should celebrate that today. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I mentioned before that we're going to end the service in a very different way today. It's going to be a little chaotic, and that's all right. We're going to sing, And we're going to bring our offerings. We've got our tithes and our regular giving and all of that. We're going to bring that physically to the front of the church, because I want to pray over all the Heart for the House gifts. People have been preparing now for a month to give. Today's a special day. And we just want to invite our pastors to just come and join me here in the front. And we're going to worship. Now, the ushers are going to be up here. Usually we serve you. We pass the offering bags. Would you, as an act of faith, would you bring your gift today? Would you bring it as an act of worship? And then let me or one of our pastors just touch that envelope with you. I don't care about the amount. I'm not looking at the amount. I want to touch that envelope with your needs that you've written on it. And if you gave online, as I said, just write out an envelope just so we know, because we want to touch that envelope. We just touch it for a moment and then you'll be dismissed. We're going to do this as we worship. Those of you that prayed the prayer, 10 of you, there's a card right in front of you. Here's what I'm asking you to do. That card says, I've decided. Would you take 30 seconds, grab that card right now, and tell me what you did today? Tell me if you rededicated your heart to the Lord, or tell me if you gave your heart to Christ for the very first time. And write your name on that and fill that out and drop that into the bag when you come up, right? This is going to be a little bit of a mob scene, but that's okay, all right? Would you stand with me, everybody? We're going to begin singing. And as we worship and as we praise God together, I want you to hug somebody. I want you to take a minute to love on somebody. I want you to come bring your offering to the Lord. Let us pray for that offering and be blessed, everyone. All right, here we go. Let's sing. Come on and give. Hallelujah.
Awesome word. Thank you, God. We believe for greater things. Sing the one who does impossible.
The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. Sing it with us. I believe in you. You're the God.
miracles.
You're the God of miracles.
Thank you for financial miracles, healing miracles. I believe in you.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
Open the doors, God.
You're the God of miracles.
Lord, we honor you. We give you praise and glory today. We speak a blessing, Lord, over these seeds that are being sown for your house. Lord, we love your house. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for setting us free from fear and poverty. Bless every person giving. Bless those that had nothing to give. Bless your people, Father. Let us walk out of this place with our heads held high. We are the sons and daughters of a king. Hallelujah. And we are not broke. Amen. We love you guys. If you need more prayer, come on. The folks are still up here. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you, everybody, for your love.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our